Romans chapter 5. If you'll stand with me as we turn there and turn to Romans 5, verse 12. And we're going to read verse 12 through 19. We're going to talk about the last Adam in connection with the video that we spent time with this morning as part of our message. Much scripture and much visual reality, giving life to this text, I hope, in our minds, that we would be able to more deeply grasp what the Lord is telling us. Why Jesus had to come and die for our sin. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. You may see. We of course, there's so much to say here, but we're going to focus simply on the excitement of the glory of Jesus Christ being the last Adam. And I wanted to go to this text today because for two reasons. One is it fits so perfectly with the video that we were able to enjoy together. But the main reason is that has been on my mind all week as Tom has been going through parts of the Great Commission with us. And he's been talking about being a Great Commission church and how we're all called as a part of that commission. We're commissioned by the Lord God, conscripted into His army to do His work. And so, like good soldiers, as the analogy of the Scripture tells us, there are many, but this analogy shares that we should be about our commander's work. And we're not here for our own purposes and our own comfort and our own glory. We're here for His glory and the future to come. We look forward to the kingdom to come. We don't look for a city built by the hands of men, but we look for the city that God builds. And this is the heart of the commission. The heart of the commission is the gospel. And the gospel is simple and yet so profound, so complex at its heart. And there is, many have said, many theologians have said, the verses I just read to you are some of the most difficult to exegete in the entire epistle of Romans. That is including Romans 9, which is so difficult to take into consideration. And it's a masterpiece of theology. But as I mentioned, we're going to just focus simply on the incredible depth of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ and the heart of the gospel and what it means for Him to be the last Adam. Why did Jesus have to die? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do we die at all? Why? Why death? Well, any of us that have gone to church for any length of time, we know. Well, we die because it is appointed unto man once to die, and there was the fall in the garden. Yes, and these two scenes are drastically connected. The scene of the cross of Calvary and the scene of Adam. And we're going to talk more in the Scripture in just a minute about what it means for Jesus to be the second Adam. But there are two specimens here that are talked about in the Scripture. One is in a beautiful garden, man eating the fruit of the living tree. The other is on the hill, the place of the skull I mentioned, Golgotha, a wreck of a man, battered and disfigured and tortured. He hangs there on a cross, gasping for his last breath. The first man is Adam in the garden. The second is the last Adam, the Word of God, revealed that God became man and became flesh for us. It's vital to understand that the Bible speaks of both of these as historic figures. That's why when there's so much philosophy and rhetoric and revisionism going on about the Scripture, we must, as believers, discern this and be able to share with the unlearned and the lost and those who would attempt to distort the Scriptures especially, why it is important to take Genesis as literal account, just as we do the Gospel of John or the Epistle of Romans. It's because the first Adam and the last Adam are linked. We don't have a choice. God has linked all of history. It is His story. That's history. And when you look at it that way, history can be an exciting thing because He's the author of it. He's fulfilling the story too. But think about this with me. God acted in time and space. He created Adam. He was not a mythological symbol. And in Genesis 3, He records how Adam sinned against God. And then in Romans 5, we're reminded that the punishment brought condemnation on the entire creation and the entire race of man. And by the way, there's one race, the human race. We hear all this rhetoric about race and racial tension and racial strife and racism, and we know what we mean. But biblically, there's one race, the human race. And all the variances we see are cultural variances. And yes, we see skin coloration differences, and that's all in the genetic code that God made. And through the one woman and the one man, Adam and Eve, life truly began. And we are all connected to the first Adam in our sin nature through the Spirit. This is a mystery, and the greatest theologians of all time can't comprehend it. But we will trust the Word of God and listen to what He tells us. So Adam sinned, and because he was our federal head, Adam was God's appointed representative for mankind. We shouldn't be too hard on Adam, because he was God's choice to represent you and I. And he didn't pass. I wonder, I many times think I would have fallen much quicker, much harder, if it were possible. But Adam was our federal head, our representative. And when he died, the Scripture teaches this. There's so many places we could go, but the sin nature from Adam as our federal head, his sin was imputed to you and I and all of the lineage of flesh, all the lineage of the flesh of men, the human race. The sin nature is imputed to us. We are born with that. And as wonderful as those little babies are, and on Mother's Day, we can really think about it. They've got a heart of sin in them that is inexplicable. And if you haven't noticed that yet, pay closer attention if you're a new mother. You will see it, and it will rear its head soon. You will have evidence of it. It's there. It's inexplicable, except for the Word of God. It's the only place that describes this rebellion in us. And so the imputation of Adam's sin nature in us spiritually must be rectified. And there's nothing we can do about it. And this is the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel. There is one way to God. There is one way to heaven. And it is through His Son, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. There are three types of death. There's spiritual separation, there's physical separation, and then there's the eternal dimension of death. Three types. The lost have all three to fear. The lost have all three to fear. And isn't it amazing? The most of the lost that we probably see don't think of any of them. And they act as if they have nothing to fear. They are darkened in their mind. And so we need to grace them and pray for them and realize that those blinders need to be removed from their spirit to hear the truth. And here's the truth. The Scriptures reveal that Jesus Christ, the God-man, the second Adam, came as a pattern of the one to come. Adam, the first Adam, was the one who set the pattern. And there's a parallel between the first Adam and Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:22. Look at this verse really quick with me. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, it's important to know the verbiage there, that although all have fallen into the sin of Adam, all saved in Christ doesn't mean universal salvation. We are all in Adam by birth. And so, make this connection, and it's biblical, and there are many places to go. We all can be saved through new birth. You were birthed into Adam's imputed sin. And through the new birth, through being reborn, born again in Christ, you have His righteousness imputed to you. That's why the Scripture talks about the redeemed being robed in the righteousness of Christ. And when the Lord God looks down on His created humanity, His human race, many colors, many cultures, many languages, many shapes of eyes, all in the genetic code that God made, there's one race of man, and He sees one division, two groups. There's the redeemed, and there's the lost. And so this is what is so critical about the gospel. And I hope that this, as simple as this is, you're grasping this today, that Jesus is essential. Knowledge of His death on the cross and resurrection is the knowledge of the way to faith. And you have that message. And we are conscripted into the army of the living God as warriors of grace to share this good news with the lost world. And our enemy is not these other people in the world, wherever they may come from and whatever beliefs they may have. Those are not our true enemy. Man has a common enemy, and he is from hell. And he's the deceiver, and he works in the flesh of all men for the imputed sin of Adam. So, moving quickly. For as in Adam all die, in Christ you can be made alive. Christ's identity as the last Adam is explicit. Look with me in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, go to verse 45. Let's read three verses. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Is Paul corroborating what God said in Genesis? Does he question the validity of Genesis? Does he wonder if it's a myth made up? Do the New Testament authors and the apostles, do they question? Did they badger Jesus with questions about the mythology of the Old Testament and the story of Noah and the ark? And this can't be true. Come on. No. They validate. They speak of it as if it is sovereign truth, every bit of it. And so Paul is saying, it's written, and I remind you, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, just as God said. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, and the second man is from heaven. And so we need the imputation, and so do all men, of Christ's righteousness for our salvation. Jesus is the last Adam, and He's the one that came in the Spirit to do the Father's bidding. The final outcome for all of us, everyone we see, every person in the world that's ever lived. And the gospel, listen to this, it is cultureless. It is timeless. It is situationless. I don't have to be culturally relevant with the gospel of Christ for God to do His sovereign work. We can use any and many methods. And some of you loved that video and it enhanced the learning of the Scripture today and your visual of what Christ did. And some of you said, we shouldn't have spent time on that. You know, and so that's just a method. And I hope that method helps to bring this truth. And that should be our goal. That whatever method, whatever technique we use, it's not of man. We can use the things that God has blessed us with. Our voice and the books that He's given us and maybe even technology. But the point is this. There's one point, and it is His gospel, His word, His truth, His redemption, His Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Himself. And that is our point. And whether I tell a Buddhist that in Tibet or a Kentuckian that in Hanson, who's just agnostic, truth is the same. You have imputed sin that damns you from your
father, Adam. But the good news, the gospel of the living God, the good news of Jesus Christ is He came in the form of a man, Jesus, to die on the cross at His appointed time, His appointed way, not crucified by the hands of men, although the instrument, the tool, and yes, responsibility, they are guilty. It's clear in the Word. Yet God ordained it. And Isaiah 53:10 says, it pleased the Father to crush the Son on the cross. It pleased the Father to crush the Son. Yes, because that is His way to impute righteousness and salvation to you. That's the depth of the love of the Father. So the second Adam had to come. The spiritual Adam had to come. Because, you see, we too are disobedient. Because of our imputed sin, we're disobedient. And it's not a single act of sin that you may do in disobedience here or a bad thing you thought yesterday. It's not these single little isolated acts that we notice. It's the imputed sin, singular, that damns us. And we see it in us and we don't understand it. And so we do the things we don't want to do, just like the Apostle Paul said. Sometimes, even in our own human nature, it's like, I want to be free. I want to be free of this addiction. I want to be free of this bondage and the demons that wrap themselves around my mind. I want to be free. What do I do? And we can't free ourselves. And so, this is inexplicable, isn't it? We understand some things, but some things we just don't understand. And the only answer is, Jesus, save me. I cannot save myself. Not a human being that's ever lived that can. And so the message is the same. And so you see this disobedience that Adam experienced? So did you. So we perpetuate it. But the chain can be broken. So the saving work of Christ consists of obedience that was required of the first Adam. God commanded Adam to obey, and he didn't. But that's got to be fulfilled. It's all lost. All of creation, even the thorns of the ground, grow up from the curse of sin. And so God had to come and do what none of us could do. And so the second Adam came. That's why Christ is called the last Adam. He fulfilled the work that Adam failed in. This is an incredible truth of the gospel. And so, being found in the appearance of man, in Philippians, the Scripture says, He humbled Himself and came obedient to death, even on the cross. And Christ's work is a representative of obedience unto the Father. Fulfills the work that we could not. You see, He took the death we deserved. That's His active obedience. You deserve death. What does God owe you? What does God owe me today? Food? Money? Shelter? Better car? Health? An explanation? I don't shake my fist and demand it, but you know, sometimes in my heart, I want an explanation. Job even finally asked for one. God gave him one, but it wasn't the one he expected. He said, "Who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? Gird up your loins, little man. For I, the living God, am about to tell you who I am." Where were you when I set the oceans and their boundaries and the stars in the sky? God doesn't owe us anything. So the fact that you're here today and we're praising Him for the last Adam and the gift of Christ is incredible. He took the death you deserve if you're in Him. And then He was obedient. His obedience, like a sheep under the slaughter, was His passive obedience that Adam did not have. So here it is, to finish. Our eternal destinies depend on whether we are united today, recognized by the Father, as of the lineage of the first Adam or the last Adam. Who do you identify with today spiritually?
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ you shall be made alive. Have you by faith renounced your sin and disobedience to the living God and embraced the forgiveness made possible by Jesus Christ the Savior? This is the gospel. And as our musicians come, we're going to sing a quick invitation, and I will welcome you here to pray with you. If God has quickened your heart for salvation, or if you have come to Him in salvation before and you have questions, we'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. And we'll go to the Word for the answers to questions. This is the gospel. But as we sing, I pray that you'll come. If the Lord has spoken to you today in your heart,